Okay, are you there? Well, we're going to be in Joshua chapter 7 in just a few minutes. But before we do, we're going to work on our memory verse, and we're not even going to put it up. We just know it. Here it is. Are you ready? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. Say it with me. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you're not your own? You have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. I have a mental block. Let's do that again, because we want to really get this down. And by tomorrow night, hopefully, I won't have to giggle my way through it. Here we go. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you're not your own? You have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. Okay. And spirit in some translation. Right. With your body and spirit, I think, in King James. I don't know why that's not in the New American Standard. Joshua chapter 7. Joshua chapter 7. So here's what we've been talking about all week. That we're not our own, and so our purpose is to bring glory to God with our life. We don't belong to ourselves anymore, and so our time is not ours. It's God's, for Him to use however He sees fit. And our treasures, our money, our things, they are not our own. If we're not our own, then the things that we have are not ours. They're to be placed in the hands of God to be used to bring glory to Him. And last night we talked about our trials. Our trials are to be placed in God's hands to be used to bring glory to Him. Right? Our time, our treasures, and our trials. Now we could have gone on. If we had more time, I think we would. We could have a night. We could talk about our talents, the way God has gifted us. Those aren't to use for ourselves, for our benefit. They're used to bring glory to God. We could talk about the throne of our life. That's not to be used for us to sit on and run our life. It's to be used for God to sit on and to bring glory to Himself. So we could continue and do some other things. But here's what I'd rather do, since we just have tonight and tomorrow night. Let's do this. We've got this basic idea down. Okay, my life's not my own. And it's to be used to bring glory to God. And so tonight and tomorrow night, let's talk about how we can live that way. We said in the beginning of the week, we want to accept that. Really accept, my life's not my own. It's yours, God, to use and to have and to benefit your kingdom and bring glory to you. So tonight and tomorrow night, I want to talk about how we can get away from living like this. Spiritual highs, feeling real close to God, then way down here, and then up here, and then up here. But just to live my life, the rest of my life, not that I won't ever falter, but the general direction and pattern for the rest of my life, to live like my life's not my own. It really is His, for His glory. So we want to try to begin to kind of live like this, kind of steady, not up and down with our emotions and our feelings, but to walk by faith and not by sight, and just have a steady, consistent walk with God. So tonight we're going to talk about what not to do. What not to do. And tomorrow night we'll talk about what to do in order to not just come together, have some revival meetings, make some promises to God that we're sincere about, but that 2 or 3 weeks from now, it's just the past and we're all wrapped up in the world again. But how we can just walk this steadily. Okay, so tonight, tomorrow night, that's what we're camping out on. And tonight we're going to talk about how to turn. And I heard a pastor preach from this passage in Joshua 7 years ago, and this was his title, and I've stole it from him because it's an accurate title of what's going on here. Here's the title: How to Turn Victory into Defeat. Now, you can probably find a book in the bookstore, I imagine, how to turn defeat into victory. But we want to talk about tonight how to turn victory into defeat. Now, that's not something we want to do, is it? But what we're learning tonight is what not to do. And so, look at it. You come to revival, you spend some time with the Lord, you really focus your life on Him, and you're in a time of victory in your life. And here's what you can do if you want that not to last, and you just want to go back down here. Okay? Here's the recipe. First of all, well, let me give you the context of what's going on in Joshua. You remember the children of Israel, they've been wandering in the promised land. Not in the promised land. They've been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. God's brought them to the River Jordan. He's going to bring them over. He gives Joshua, he says, Joshua, just be strong and courageous. You're going to take this people over. Moses' leadership is over. Joshua's going to take them over. God performs a great miracle and He walks them right through the Jordan River. You remember that? And when they come across the Jordan River, what's the first city in the promised land? Jericho. They come to Jericho. I heard some story about a little boy. What was it in Sunday school? He was always getting in trouble. And the teacher said, well, who was it that knocked down the walls of Jericho? And the boy said, I didn't do it. I didn't do it. Now, what happened when they came to Jericho? Jericho was a mighty fortress city. It was a strong city. It was a big city. And so they came in, they come to, and here's what God tells them to do. For 6 days, I want you to, they'd march around Jericho. You remember, they'd march around one day. Second day, they marched around. Third day, through 6 days. On the seventh day, they marched around Jericho 7 times. They blew the trumpets. Moses, or Joshua said, shout to the Lord. They shouted to the Lord, and what happened? The walls came down, and they took Jericho. Now, but here's something God told them when you take Jericho. I don't want you to take anything for yourself out of this city. These things in here are devoted to the Lord. The silver and the gold, the spoils of the city, they're devoted to the Lord. Don't take them for yourself, he said. And you remember, we're going to sneak ahead a little bit, and here's what we know. A fellow named Achan took some of the devoted things. Sometimes it's called things that were under the ban. They were banned from the people. Sometimes it's called the devoted things because they were supposed to be devoted to God. And Achan secretly took some of the silver and a mantle and some of the gold too. He took that, and where'd he put it? He buried it in his tent. You remember that? So that's what's happened. That's what's just happened. And when we come to Joshua chapter 7, they've taken Jericho. Achan's got the stuff that was under the ban, the stuff that was supposed to be devoted to the Lord, but he's taken it for himself. He's hidden in his tent. Joshua doesn't know that. And now they're coming to the second city in the land, and they're taking this land. This is the land God's promised them. They're taking it. They're coming to Ai. That's the second city. Now, Ai is a little bitty place. I used to, Brother Edgar, it's been a long time since, used to know, and you probably know, how large Jericho was. Really, Ai is just a little bitty place. Should be easy for them to take, right? That's exactly what they thought. So we're in Joshua chapter 7, and here's the recipe. We're going to talk about how to turn victory into defeat. And number one, I want to give you the recipe for how to do that. It's just like if you were going to cook something at home. You want to know, how do I make this? I put this, this, and this in it. I want to give you three ingredients, three things to put into your life if you want to turn victory into defeat. And I hope you don't want to. All right, so here's what happens. We're going to put verse 3 and 4 up there. But I'm going to start reading in verse 2, and then we'll put verse 3 and 4 up here. Now Joshua sent the men from Jericho to Ai, which is near Beth-Aven, east of Bethel, and said to them, go up and spy out the land. So the men went up, and they spied out Ai. Verse 3. They returned to Joshua, and they said to him, do not let all the people go up. Only about 2,000 or 3,000 men need to go up to Ai. Do not make all the people toil up there, for they are few. So if you want to turn victory into defeat, here's the first ingredient. Here's the first thing you put in your recipe. You have an overconfidence in yourself. You see what happened in verse 3? The spies come back. They said, look, we don't need to... We just took Jericho. We don't need to send many people there. Just send 2,000 or 3,000 people up there. I'll tell you what. Here's a recipe for disaster. Have an overconfidence in yourself. This is what Israel did. An overconfidence in themselves. And then underestimate the strength of the enemy. And you'll be defeated. And that's what happened to them. Now, I want you to think about when they have this overconfidence. It followed a great victory. It followed a victory that was over this walled, fortified city. They took this city. Following this huge victory in their life, that's when they were ripe, and that's when they were ripe for overconfidence, and they had it. And if you want defeat in your life, do this. Think of your life, and a lot of us live this way as believers. Think of your life in two categories. You've got the big things that you face in life that you know that you need God's help with. You know this is bigger than you. You can't fix this. You can't control this. You need God. So you think of your life in two categories. The big things that you know you need God's help with, and then these small things that you can handle on your own and you can take care of yourself. You think of your life and you behave and live as if life has those two categories, and you're going to run into the same kind of defeat Israel did. They had a big victory. They became confident. The little boy didn't know the right answer. Who did knock down the walls of Jericho? It was God. It was God who did that. But now they come to little Ai, and the spies say, I'll just send 2,000 or 3,000 people up there. Now notice verse 4. Joshua listened to the counsel of the spies. Look at verse 4. So about 3,000 men from the people went up there, but they fled from the men of Ai. Here's what Joshua did. He listened to the counsel of the spies and did what they said, but he did not seek the counsel of God. He didn't ask God how he should do this. Now here's what I'm convinced of. And the Bible doesn't say this, but I'm pretty confident this is true. That if Joshua had got on his knees as the leader of the nation of Israel and gone to the Lord and said, God, you've given us Jericho. God, thank you. You're a mighty and a great God. Now we're facing this little Ai. Tell us what we should do. I believe God would have revealed to him then, you're not ready to go up to battle. Because remember, Joshua didn't know this. I believe God would have revealed it to him if he had sought God's leadership. There's a man in your camp who's stolen, who took things from under the ban, and you need to deal with that first. But Joshua didn't seek the counsel of God. He took the counsel of the spies, maybe because of overconfidence, and as a result, some people are going to die. Now, so do we do this? You ever do this? Do you ever just decide what you're going to do without consulting the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm going to do this, and I'm going to go over here, and I'm going to fix this situation. And this is what I'm going to do with my children, and this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to take this job. I'm going to move. I'm going to buy this house. Big things, little things, whatever they are. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this without consulting the Lord Jesus. And here's what I know in my own personal life. Overconfidence does not lead me to pray. When I've got a lot of confidence in myself, things have been really going good, and I may maybe begin to think it must be something I'm doing. Although I'd never say that consciously, I must be thinking that because I've noticed at those times I begin to not pray as much. Overconfidence often results in people not praying. So here's what happened with Israel. They did not seek the counsel of God. And as a result, God is going to teach Joshua a lesson. And here's the lesson he's going to teach Joshua. Joshua, you need me in every single battle and against every single enemy, no matter how small. That's the lesson I believe he's going to teach Joshua. One of the lessons. You need me in every battle of your life. You need me against every enemy, no matter how small it seems. You need me. And so stay away from that overconfidence. But here's what happened. The power that they had in Jericho, they did not have in Ai. Because God is not with them in this battle. He's not. So, recipe for... Here's what we're talking about, right? We're talking about being able to live this Christian life consistently. Not an emotional roller coaster, but consistently, steadily live my life like this. Because it's true that my life's not mine. And my purpose is to honor God. Now, if I want to fall from that, I just begin to think I can handle things on my own and act as if I can handle things on my own. Here's a second thing you can put in your recipe. Overconfidence in myself. Let's add in some taking lightly what God says to us. Taking lightly what God says to us. Have you ever sat in church like this? Brother Edgar's preaching, and you know he's preaching from God's Word, and there's something that just applies to what's going on in your life right now. And so you begin to think, and you think, that applies to my life. I wonder if that could be the Holy Spirit. Do you think so? The Holy Spirit taking God's Word and applying it to your life. And let's think of what God does in times like that in church, or even when we're reading the Bible ourselves at home. Let's think of it like this. Not that that's just some kind of suggestion, but that's God speaking to you and me. So now, okay, so here you are in church, Brother Eric is preaching, and God's Word, and God speaks to you. And you think, I could see that in my life. But then I go out into my life, and I don't ever think about it again. I'm just going about my business. That's taking what God is saying to me lightly. And that's the second recipe for disaster. That when God speaks to us, just to take that kind of lightly. Oh, well, that's good. I love Samuel, the little boy Samuel, when God spoke to him when he lived with Eli the priest. You remember that? It says that Samuel grew up and he didn't allow any of the words of God to him to fall to the ground. It's like everything that God was saying to him, he was responding to and catching. I love that. He didn't let any of the words of God fall to the ground. That's what I would encourage you, because if we do this, if we take what God says to us lightly, it's a recipe for defeat and for disaster. So when you know God speaks to you, let's respond to Him. I want us to see in verse... I was about to take the money, Brother Hickok. I'm sorry. I thought my Bible was there. I'm sorry. Verse 11. In verses 6 through 9... They go up to Ai. Some men are killed in battle. They're defeated. Joshua can't understand. God, what happened? In verse 11, God tells Joshua why they were defeated. And he tells him there's six different things he says here in verse 11 about taking God's word lightly. First, he says, look at verse 11. That's chapter 8. Verse 11. First he says, God's speaking to Joshua, the leader, and he says, Israel has sinned. That word for sin is a word, part of the meaning of that word is to wander away from. So he disregarded, he's saying Israel disregarded, they wandered away from what I told them. Now here's what we're talking about. We're talking about taking God's word lightly when God speaks to us. So let's apply this to ourselves. When we know God speaks to us, do we just wander away from that, just disregard what he says? So here's what he says. Number one, he says, they disregarded. Israel has sinned. And number two, they have also transgressed my covenant. That word for transgressed is the word that means to pass over. To pass over. So he says, they've passed over my covenant. They've passed over what I told them. The agreement that I had with them. They passed over that. And so, not only have they disregarded, but they have just taken lightly. Trying to think of the word. I've got all D words for this. I'm just really on these letters. Dismissed. They just dismissed what God said to them. They took it lightly. They passed over it. Okay? They transgressed. Look at the third thing he says. And they have even taken some of the things under the ban. Now this is new news to Joshua, doesn't it? He doesn't know what Achan took. And so not only they have actually disobeyed God. God said, don't take this stuff. And Achan took the stuff. So they disobeyed. Now I want to back up a little bit and let's camp out here for just a minute. Let's go back and don't think, because a couple nights ago we talked about money. We're talking about more than money here. But I want to go back and talk about this tithing thing. Because it's a bigger principle we're going to apply to our life, okay? Here's what God had told Israel. I want you to bring the first fruits as an offering to me. That's what God had told Israel. The first fruits. You know what that meant? It meant they didn't raise their crops and take all in, get a big pile in the storehouse, and then when they had some left over at the end, they would take some of the corn down there as an offering to the Lord. No, God's, and same with the animals. The first one. He said, I want you to bring the first fruits as an offering to me. Okay? So, when they did that, part of that was they're not bringing God the leftovers. Another part was, you give the first fruits of your crop. You know, what if a hailstorm comes the next night and destroys your crop? You're done. So this is really demonstrating. When you give the first fruits to God, it is an offering of faith. That's why God received Abel's offering. His was an offering. It was the first of his flock. So it's an offering of faith when you give the first fruits. And that's how they were to bring their offerings. First fruits. So now they're coming into the promised land. Now what's the first city in the promised land? It's Jericho. So here's God's plan as they come in. You don't take any of the stuff from Jericho because that's the first fruits of the land. And all of that silver and all of that gold must be devoted to the Lord. Now, when they get to Ai and all these other places, they're allowed to divide the spoil among themselves. That's not the first fruits. So this is a picture of. They're coming in, they're not supposed to take the first fruits. Now, what Achan did was he took what was supposed to be devoted to the Lord. He took the first fruits for himself. And God said, don't do that. And as a result, they experienced defeat. And so we disobey God when it comes to those things that belong to Him. It leads to defeat. So here's what we're saying. To take God's word lightly. They disregarded His word. They sinned. They dismissed it when they just passed over what He said. They transgressed against His covenant. They even took some things under the ban. All right? And they have both stolen. So they just deliberately outright sinned. This is not some kind of gray area. They didn't know. Achan knew. He said, don't do this. And Achan did exactly what they stole. And then he deceived. He, right? Dug a hole in his tent, hid it. Nobody knew about it. He's covering it up. He's trying to hide what he's done. Now I want you to look at this last part. Moreover, they have also put them among their own things. And I believe this is the worst thing of all. And this is the part that's really going to apply what we've been talking about all week. Right here. It says, they have also put them among their own things. They took some of those things that were devoted to the Lord and they put it among their own stuff. So let's make some application here. They took things devoted to the Lord, put among their own stuff. They used, this happens today when we use for our own personal purposes things that are supposed to be devoted to the Lord. So here's an easy example for us to use. Brother Lewis, I cannot sing. I love to sing, but I can't. But you can. And you have some musical, you play the guitar, have all the musical talent. Now, it's not wrong to, I don't think that it's wrong when if a Christian, unless he depends on what he's singing, but I mean, you could sing, say, a country and western song, and if it's, you know, I love my truck or something like that, that's probably not a horrible sin, right? But when a person takes what God's given to them, what's supposed to be devoted to Him, and they use it for other purposes solely, that's what we're talking about here. They took what was supposed to be devoted to the Lord and they put it among their own stuff. So here's the height of wickedness. Let's think about our thinking about our time that God's given us to what? Your time is your life. He's given you your life what? To use for His glory. Think about your money, your stuff, your things. He's given you those things for what? To use for His glory. So here's the height of wickedness. When we take what was given to us for His glory and we put it among our own stuff and we use it for other things. Does that make sense? That's the height of wickedness. It's what Satan did. And it would be what someone did if they got this talent, this musical talent that God gave them to bring honor and glorify Him. But they use it to bring glory to themselves. And they use it to make, you know, to try to make themselves rich. That's taking the devoted things and putting it among their own stuff. And we look, when we take our, and it's, again, it's not that it's wrong to go fishing or play a video game. It's not that it's wrong to have some things. God gives us things to enjoy. But if the pattern of our life is continually to take the things that God has given to us and put them among our own stuff to use for ourselves instead of His glory, that is wicked. That's wicked. And that's the recipe for defeat. That's what Achan did, and as a result, all of Israel is charged with it. They took the devoted things that were to be God's, and they put them with their own stuff. And I just want to say to you, if you have some things that were supposed to be devoted with to God, and you've had them among your own stuff, it's sin. It's sin. So, recipe for defeat. I'm going to... overconfidence in myself, taking God's word to me lightly. And that's what they did when they took those things, the devoted things, and used them for themselves. Third thing, one last thing under the recipe, not considering the outcome. Just acting. This is the way the devil was in the Garden of Eden. It's the way he's always been. And he'll try to deceive us into acting without thinking about where this is going. Because where did this go? Look at verse 12. Therefore, the sons of Israel cannot stand before their enemies. They turn their backs before their enemies, for they have become accursed. I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy the things under the ban. So here's, Achan didn't think about this up front. Here's where this is going. If I take these things that are devoted to God and I use them for myself, here's where this is going. God won't be with me anymore in my future battles. It's not, if you're saved, I understand. The Lord will never leave you or forsake you. The Holy Spirit's in you. You're eternally secure. He'll never leave you. But the truth of the matter is, what's true of Israel is true in the sense of Him being with you in future battles. He wants to go back and, no, let's go back and settle this thing. And so if only Achan had stopped and taken a look at what's going to be the outcome of this? And nothing ever comes. Nothing good ever comes. Let's just have a testimony night. How many of you like to stand up and share testimony tonight? That I just outright rebelled. God said do this, and I said, no, I'm doing this my way. And I'm taking what you've given me, and I'm using it for myself. I would like you to just stand up tonight if your testimony is you've done that, and that turned out good for you. Anybody want to stand up? I'm just glad to say I rebelled against God, and man, I've just had so much peace and joy in my life. Everything's going my way. Is that anyone's testimony? It doesn't go good. It's a recipe for defeat. To not consider where this path leads to. Proverbs says there's a way that seems right to man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. It seems right. It looks good at the time. But to ask God, and say, God, where does this lead? And rebellion against God doesn't lead anywhere good. So that's the recipe. Now, that's the recipe for turning victory into defeat. Now, what's the result of it? What's the result? Well, here was the result for Achan. First of all, the result is personal defeat. Absolute personal defeat. Look at verse 25 of chapter 7. Joshua speaking to Achan, "Why have you troubled us? The Lord will trouble you this day." And all Israel stoned them with stones, and they burned them with fire after they stoned them. It didn't end up good for it. The result for Achan was of taking what could have been a great defeat and was it turned into a great victory turned into a personal defeat in his life. And him and his family are dead. You know, they're stoned to death. But not only this, here's maybe a worse part. The result is my personal defeat affects other people. It does affect other people. Along about verse 6, 7, 8, somewhere along in there, those 2,000 or 3,000 people went up to Ai to fight, and they got whipped. And 36 men died that day. 36 men died because of Achan's taking what God said lightly and his sin. And I wish we could just get a hold of this, because sometimes how it affects us, we just shrug off. And I think we don't really think about how we're affecting other people. But I want to say this. When you're not giving what God has given to you to be used for His glory, when your life is not in His hands, you are affecting and influencing other people. And I'll tell you who, and not everybody, because some people are single and they live alone, and so it would be different for them. But if you have children especially, if you have a husband or a wife, when your life is not given, when you're not living like this, my life's not my own, it's for God's glory. When you're not living like that, I want you to know something. You're affecting your family. You are influencing them. And you may say, well, and we could look at someone real easily and you know, a dad or mom, they begin to start to use drugs, and they begin to not go to work, and they lose their job, and they're not taking care of their family. And we can easily look at that person and say, man, they're affecting their family. They're influencing their family. They're hurting their family. And we see that. But I want you to see this. You may not be out there leading your family and doing all kinds of horrible things. You may not be leading them to do evil things. You may just, but here's what you're not doing. If you're not living as if your life's not your own, it's the Lord's, you're losing opportunity to impact them positively for the Lord Jesus Christ, to cause them to say, He really is a great God. He really is worthy of my life. I should give my life to Him. And you're losing an opportunity to influence your wife, your husband, your children for Christ. Look, I'm glad. I'm glad. I thank God for eternal security of the believer. And the Lord Jesus has saved you, and you know that you're saved, and you'll never doubt that. And you had some times when you walked really close to God, and now some times when you really don't walk as close to Him. But you know that you're okay. You know you're saved. You know you're going to heaven. And you just kind of settled for that. That's the way it is. I'm saying to you, please don't settle for that, because the impact is not only personal defeat for you, but you're impacting other people. And the people who are closest around you are the ones you're impacting the most. And please, men, stand up and be a man of God in your family. God's put you in that place. Please, men. You know, thank God for the women in our churches. But in many of our churches, the women have to be the spiritual leaders. And many of our homes, the women have to be the spiritual leaders. And I'm just saying to you, men, here's God's plan is for you. Well, Ephesians chapter 5, it talks about husbands loving your wife like Christ loved the church. And the purpose for that is so Christ was sanctifying His church. He was helping His church become conformed to the image of Christ, become what it's supposed to be. And men, that's your role in the lives of your wives. To impact them so that they become more and more like Christ. So, the result for Achan was not only personal defeat, but it devastated the nation of Israel. And it cost 36 men their lives. There's the result. Now, what's the remedy? What's the remedy? Well, let's don't follow the recipe. And we'll talk about that first part tonight, tomorrow night, that overconfidence in ourselves, about how to have our dependence in a place where God can make us able to do what we couldn't do on our own. But for tonight, let's see what God's remedy for Israel was. Look at the end of verse 12. He said, I'll not be with you anymore unless you destroy the things under the ban from your midst. And so, it is to take those things that are supposed to be devoted to the Lord that we've put with our own stuff. And they were to destroy them. But if those things are devoted to the Lord, put them over here where they belong, devoted to the Lord. And so it's the same kind of thing we've been talking about all week, where our time is supposed to be His time for Him to use for His glory. Our treasures are supposed to be His treasures to use for His glory. Our trials, His to use for His glory. So it's to take those things. If I fall into defeat, here's the way to get back. To take those things that are supposed to be God's and put them back in the hands of God. Right? And I thank God for second chances. Amen? Because if you fall into defeat, and I have a bunch, always right there, by the grace of God, to know God, I was wrong. And Christians ought to be repentant. You know, we don't just repent when we get saved. Christians repent. I'm turning away from this, and I'm turning back to you, and I'm putting these things back in your hands. And as many times as I fall back over here, I just keep putting them back. It's like putting a two-year-old to bed. They just keep getting up. You know what you do? You just keep putting them back in bed. They get up. You put them back in bed. You don't give. You just keep putting them back. You keep putting them back, and eventually they stay there. And that's what you do with these things. You fall, you know, a week or two or a month or 3 months or whatever from now, I've slipped back into this pattern where I'm just I'm not using my time to honor God in any way. And I realize that. God shows me that. I put it back over here, and then it comes back, and I just keep putting it back over there. I keep putting those things that are devoted to God back in His hands, casting those, giving them to Him. And over time, more and more of those things begin to stay there. And God keeps them there. May God do this in our life, you know, so that something more comes out of this week than good fellowship, great worship, Lord. But that worship that Lewis has led us in, and God's Word, it leads us to this, to a steady walk with God, where these things, my life is His. My life is His. Let's pray. Father, I thank You. I thank You for Your grace. You are the God of a second chance and of another chance and of another chance. But Father, as much as possible in this life, God help those of us sitting in this room. Lord, we want to get away from this pattern of just up and down, up and down, up and down. And begin to live this. Begin to live as if our life is Yours. Because You have bought us with a price. And our life is Yours for You to use to bring honor to You. God, would You guard our hearts tonight? And if there are those here who have fallen to overconfidence in themselves or just taking what You said lightly, God, would You bring just a fresh start tonight? And Lord, I pray this week will be the beginning of a deeper walk with You than we've ever known before. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.